Well, I have a confession to make this morning. I used to be a getaway driver for a thief. Although I was unaware I was doing it. When Zethan got expelled from high school, we couldn't leave him alone because he could not be trusted. So everywhere I went, he went too. All day, every day. So Wednesdays were shopping days. And when we hit the doors of the Walmart, we went our separate ways. I went to the grocery section, and he went to the electronics. After a specified amount of time, we would meet at the cashier. What I didn't know then was Zethan was loading up his pockets with small items from the electronics aisle. So we would get in the car and drive out of the parking lot and back here to the church. And Zethan, every time, would make a clean getaway thanks to me. Well, one day, I found a stash of stolen stuff in his bedroom. This was the end of my career as a getaway driver and the beginning of my career as a stool pigeon. I called someone at Walmart to warn them to watch out for Zethan. I also called the police to have them come to our house and get all the stolen stuff out of his room, which they did, with an officer standing guard over him while another officer and I went to his room and gathered all the ill-gotten gains. Incidentally, it was the last time I let Zethan loose in a store by himself. I informed Zethan that if he ever caught stealing something while he was in the store with me, he was on his own. I told him, if we get to the door and security catches him and he starts yelling, "Mama, Mama," which is what he used to call me, he still does, by the way, I wouldn't even turn around. I would just keep on going because nobody could prove just by looking at us that I was his mother. Funny thing is, when Zethan was out on his own, he got caught stealing the first time he did it without me. For several years, it seemed like he got caught every time he stole, every rock-picking time. He spent a lot of time in and out of jail. Jim and I analyzed, why in the world did he never get caught when he was with me? But now, all of a sudden, every time he turns around, he's getting caught. We came to the conclusion it's because he was with a white woman. I somehow made him invisible. But the first time he was without his white shield, he got caught. Every single day of the year, somebody somewhere is stealing something. There's car thieves, white-collar thieves, armed robbers, shoplifters, insurance fraud, income tax evasion, breaking and entering, embezzlement, extortion, blackmail, bribery, you name it. There's 101 ways to steal. One of those ways is especially harming our country. It's called shoplifting, the kind of stealing I was the getaway driver for. Shoplifting is crushing businesses all over our country. Every year, over 2 million Americans are charged with shoplifting. Most shoplifters are between the ages of 25 and 45. More women than men shoplift. It may come as a surprise to you, though, to know that most shoplifters are not poor. According to the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, 3/4 of the shoplifters in our state are middle to upper class Americans. 80% of shoplifters have money or credit cards with them to pay for the things they are stealing. Retailers estimate the annual cost of shoplifting in America runs in the billions of dollars. You, every one of us in this room, will spend at least $1,000 extra dollars every year because of someone else's shoplifting. Which brings us to today's commandment, Exodus 20:15. You shall not steal. This commandment provides stability in societies. It teaches respect for private property. It promotes healthy and hard work. It may be fairly stated that without this commandment, no society could function. Unless there is a general agreement to respect the property of others and an accepted prohibition against stealing, no society could exist for very long. If you feel free to grab what is mine and I feel free to grab what is yours, we can't get along very, very long. We are going to be enemies. We will eye each other with suspicion and then we'll wait for another opportunity to snatch something else from each other. No family, no city, no country can survive without the Eighth Commandment being adhered to by the majority of the population. Stealing used to be something that folks were ashamed of. Now it is accepted politically and religiously under certain circumstances. You can watch hundreds of YouTubes where a single thief or a gang of thieves walk into a drugstore and empty out the shelves. They waltz right in, fill up bags of stuff, and waltz right out. There's this one video I saw. This guy is riding his bike up and down the aisles in a Walgreens, just loading up bags, and then he rides his bike right out the front door. It has gotten so bad that in some cities, everything is locked up. Just this week, Zeb needed to buy socks at Walmart, and he drives past one on his way home from work. The socks were locked up tighter than a drum. In San Francisco, there is no effort to conceal stealing, and there is almost no effort to stop thieves. The most store employees and security people can do is just record it with their cell phones. Store employees are told not to try to stop anyone because it has become so dangerous. I was witness of a shoplifting event at the Walmart out here on East State Street. I think it was about 6:30 in the morning I was out there. And they have paid security now that drive around in these black trucks and uniformed officers. I don't know if they're carrying guns or not. But this guy comes out of the Walmart with a shopping cart full of stuff that he has stolen. And here comes, and it's a female. I love this especially. She races out into the parking lot after this guy, and I stop because I'm like, ooh, this is going to be fun. Where's the popcorn? She gets a hold of this cart and jerks it out of this guy's hand and knocks him to the ground and just pushes the cart back into the Walmart. The guy's like, where's my stolen stuff? Too bad, so sad. I guess some Walmarts are serious about catching thieves. But that's not true everywhere, and especially in California. They have a recent law that says that stealing merchandise worth $950 or less is a misdemeanor. That means that law enforcement is unlikely to investigate, and if they do, prosecutors are going to drop the case. It's because of this law that California has issued an open invitation to anyone to walk in and take whatever they want, and they do. Every day. They know every day I can steal $950 worth of stuff and walk away. Moreover, it has become a badge of honor to see how much you can walk out with. There's a cure for all of this stuff. There's a cure for stealing. It's first, stop stealing, and then find something useful to do and become a giver. That's what the Bible says anyway. Ephesians 4:28. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. I'm sorry to say that I happen to know a little something about thieves by association. And what I know about them is it isn't enough to just stop stealing. Something has to replace the act of stealing. And usually that something is a four-letter word, work. Something restorative occurs in our hearts when we stop doing something bad and then start doing something constructive, something that benefits not just ourselves, but others. And God knew this. Stealing isn't always easier than work. In fact, I think sometimes it's a little harder, but it certainly can be a lot more exciting. The thrill of walking out of a store with something in your pocket that you didn't pay for is a high. It's a source of pride. When a thief is caught, he isn't generally sorry for stealing, but only sorry that he got caught. His goal is to improve his stealing techniques so that he will not get caught in the future. Can a person with a thief's mindset ever change? Yes, we all can, with the help of God. Well, we might be breathing easy. Finally, the one commandment that doesn't make me squirm in my seat. But you know me, I always have to be a buzzkill. Did you know we can steal all kinds of things and they don't have to be material things? We can steal immaterial things like taking the credit for something we didn't do. We can steal someone's reputation, someone's trust, someone's time, someone's affections. We can steal someone's joy, you know, like when your brother comes home with a new car and he's super, super excited, but you say, boy, it's so too bad that color is so dog ugly. You've stolen his joy. We can steal someone's victory, also known as cheating. Now, my little brother and I were champion victory stealers. I like that better than calling us cheaters. When we played Monopoly, and by the way, is it true that there's a cheater's edition of Monopoly? I think there is. I think you can get it on Amazon. But anyway, we would play Monopoly, and Jeff and I would swipe properties or money from the bank when no one was looking. Or we would put our elbow on the table and slowly move our pieces into a better position. Or if that didn't work, we would hit the table, causing all the pieces to fly up, forcing a do-over. What we were doing is stealing. We were stealing the victory from whomever was going to be the rightful winner. You might be wondering, well, you talked about your little brother. What about your twin brother? Was he a victory stealer too? Nope. He was the good twin. By the way, I'm not too sure you want to play Monopoly with me even today, because why? I'm the bad twin. We can steal in all kinds of ways from all kinds of people. And we can also steal from God. In fact, most of us have. Malachi 3:8 says, "Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me." We rob God when we don't give him what he's owed. What is he owed? Our wholehearted love, our trust, our obedience, our service, and our worship. We rob God when we are stingy with our time and we keep it mostly to ourselves. We rob God when we neglect to pray and serve the needs of others. God deserves nothing but the absolute best from us, our time, our attention, devotion, and our resources. Did you know our wallets are only a small portion of the equation? We rob Jesus when we don't give him our lives. Stealing isn't as clear-cut as we want to make it. And it isn't always the guy wearing handcuffs on the news who is the thief. My guess is that we've all been guilty of stealing something at one time or another. And I would go even further to guess that we've all been guilty of stealing from God. The problem with theft is, by nature, it's selfish. We steal because we don't think we have enough. We steal because we think we deserve what others have. We steal because we don't really want to work too hard to earn something. We steal because we don't think God is really going to take care of us. We steal because deep down we think God needs a little help from me. We steal because we feel like we can't just sit around and wait for God to act, because sometimes that takes years, you know. Stealers are takers. Stealing comes to an end when takers become givers. There are, in general, two kinds of people: givers and takers. A taker forgets all about the goodness of God and reaches for what he wants, ignoring the feelings and circumstances of others. Takers follow the toddler's property laws, which go like this: if I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hands, it's mine. If I take it from you, it's mine. If I had it a minute ago but put it down, it is still mine. If it really is mine, you better not be looking at it like you want it. If I'm building something, all the pieces of mine, even the ones I'm not using. If I saw it first, it's mine. If I'm playing with it and you put it down to go potty, it is mine. Now, it's yours if it's broken. Takers only give when they get something out of giving. The taker says, "I didn't get anything out of that." The taker says, "You didn't visit me. You didn't call me. You didn't send me a card. Your gift was terrible." But they don't visit, they don't call, and they don't send cards. They don't give at all. The giver says, "How much more can I do? How much more can I give? Who can I call? Who can I visit?" Givers take care of others. Takers have to be taken care of by others. Takers have a common disease. They think the world owes them one. The government does, a retail outlet or another person do. When the opportunity comes to get what they think the world owes them, they feel no regrets in evening up the score. Givers realize that happiness comes through serving others. Givers realize that fulfillment in life comes from giving, not just money or gifts, but time, energy, and attention. People who are givers know how good God has been to them. People who are givers dispense God's grace in a cold, hard world. Our personal economies change from what we can get to what we can give. When we know that that God is a source of all of our needs, we can afford to be generous, and we can afford to give to others. Maxie Jarman founded the Great Genesco shoe chain. These stores do not exist anymore. Over the years, Mr. Jarman was wealthy, and he donated to a lot of worthy causes. He even gave to the Billy Graham Crusades. He would give thousands of dollars to charities all over the world. But one day, Mr. Jarman's company collapsed, and with it, his personal fortune. Someone asked him, "Mr. Jarman, don't you regret giving all that money away? Think about what a difference it would be to have that money in your bank account now that your stores have floundered and sunk." Maxie answered like this, "I don't regret giving away any of the money. After all, I only lost what I kept for myself." What we give in a cosmic way is still out there. And the Bible wants us to be givers. Acts 20:35 says, "It is more blessed to give than receive." The gospel turns thieves into caring givers. God himself is a giver, not a taker. Perhaps the most familiar giving verse in the Bible is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Adhering to the eighth commandment involves more than simply ceasing to steal. It has a more positive moral component. Be a giver. Start being generous. Is there hope for a thief? Can a thief be saved? Well, the Bible talks about one who was. The last person Jesus forgave on earth was a thief. Think about it. While he was hanging on the cross, Jesus forgave a thief and promised him paradise. And that's good news for all of us. For those times that we stole, for those times that we were stingy with our time and our resources, for those times that we were takers and not givers, we can all be forgiven. I read a couple of psychological journals about why do people steal. And there's a lot of information, and I'm not going to bore you with all of it, but I think I can nutshell it for you. People steal to fill some kind of a need. It could be hunger. It could be the urge for a thrill. It could be greed. But whatever it is, when we steal, we are trying to fill an empty spot inside. No matter if we steal immaterial things or material things, we do it to get a need met. We all do it. I do it. This morning, I want to make sure you know Jesus can fill that emptiness. All those empty places that disturb your sleep, that make you eat more candy than you should, that make you watch more TV than you should, Jesus can fill it.